Good morning, friends. What is understanding as it is meant in today's intent? It seems like a kind of part two to the control of speech thing from last Sunday, so much so that I decided to go to the Greek again, because it does shed light on the King James' often impenetrable archaicisms, beautiful though they may be. So, be all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So a quick stomp through the translation. The word translated as compassion, I love this, is eusplagkonoi, which literally good bowels. It's usually rendered kind or good-hearted. You've got to love the Hellenic obsession with digestion. Love as brethren comes from philadelphoi, meaning the loving shared-mindedness of siblings. Be pitiful comes from sympathies, which you might think means sympathetic, but it's actually something more like let your feelings resonate with each other. Be courteous comes from tepeino phrones, which is often translated as be humble, but really means taking the lower position. Here almost a parallel to the Lao Tzu, advising the highest good is like water, nourishing all without effort, and taking the low places that people disdain. This is a repeating theme in Christianity, for good reason, yet often misunderstood. The point of taking the lower position is not to be exalted at some later date, but because the foundation is the underlying strength of the whole. And as you will soon see, that is the entire basis for this talk. So the next bit of the text is about the part giving not evil for evil, or insult for insult, but rather blessing instead, that you may inherit blessing. A continuation of the idea that as you sow, so shall you reap, but it also means a blessing you give is the blessing you're left with. The sense here is not that you bless others so that someone in future might bless you, but that the very blessing you render to those who insult or attempt to destroy you is itself the blessing you get. In this sense, you bring blessing to yourself by changing the evil acting against you into good. The blessing is an end in itself. This means if your blessing is somehow tainted, affected, or over-pious, so too will be its backward-flowing effect on you. Beware of blessings tainted by anger or displeasure, for these are not blessings at all. The evil thing cannot be turned unless one truly understands its nature, embracing it and taking the lower, the greater, position. Understanding is brought about by kindness and a willingness to resonate with the other, no matter how scary or dangerous that may seem. A willingness to put yourself in the other's position, really to put yourself into the other, and that's no mean feat. Anyway, an improved translation might say, be all of one mind and kind to each other, having the loving shared-mindedness of siblings, feelings in resonance, taking the lower position, not rendering evil for evil, but instead blessing, knowing that the blessing you give is the one you are left with. Now, we're going to try a short visualization exercise, as I know your clothes enough to hear me now. You might have guessed it's a process that works best when your eyes are closed, so please do close them for a minute. And remember a time and a place when you feel good. see what you saw and hear what you heard, so you can feel what you feel, feel what you felt. And really put yourself into the memory of that feeling, so you can truly begin to feel good like you did then. Okay, now open your eyes. I said it would be short, didn't I? You know, it's amazing, but we never seem to be able to hang on to these really good states, because something always comes along and really just messes it up. And if we could hang on to them, we'd probably all feel, we'd all treat each other better. So despite being a Christian, I am not going to tell you that all you have to do is lean on Jesus. And you know what? That's not what's in the epistles or the gospel either. Our spiritual growth depends on personal responsibility for treating each other better. Even though something or someone always arises, let's call it the unpleasant distraction, that puts an end to the good state from which kindness and all those other good things come. But the beauty of unpleasant distractions is they are our fuel. The unpleasant stuff is what will really power our way forward. Peter's epistle is about understanding people. So it's the unpleasantness arising in other people that I want to get into. We all know someone or someones with whom we have difficulty, or perhaps even we just cannot stand them. And I know you aren't going to like it, but I have to say that understanding the person with whom we have difficulties takes a higher order of moral courage than we're used to or comfortable with. The first part of that courage is the recognition that whatever awful thing they are or do is not apart from or outside of you, even though it will seem to be. This terrible thing about the other person actually belongs to you, is connected to you, and in some unfortunate existential way, you support it. And if you can get that bit, and the real difference is made when you begin consciously supporting it, bringing it into your embrace. And just to be clear, I don't mean agreeing with it or saying something is good when it isn't. I mean making space for it, being the space in which that thing is allowed to be. This is the beginning of standing under a thing, understanding a thing. Now, if it's a real person, one can take a step further and put that person into oneself and identify oneself with them so that one can feel what they feel and see what they see, know what they know, really resonate with them in order to know them. This is what the Christ does for us. So can we say it's not an example we should follow? If we do, then something interesting happens. One notices that this other terrible person is making the best decisions they can from their own frame of perception. And your frame of perception has just expanded in such a way that you may even be of value to them. I mean true value. You may realize that they are in fact more stupid than evil. That's a step up in my book. Or maybe they're just lacking something simple, like some knowledge. None of us knows everything, after all. You may even recognize the Christ within them. Most importantly, you may be able to recognize yourself in them. bringing me to the last lines of the text, where we are admonished to have charity, for charity covers the multitude of sins. Where charity is a translation of agape, a thorny one to render in English. The modern translation is love, but it is a great deal more than what most call love, or even spiritual love, whatever that is. Agape is that love which is essential, a love which underlies our very existence, carrying with it the notion of sacrifice, both in the sense of making holy and in the sense of giving up with no expectation of return. Agape is the firstborn son who validates a kingship. Agape is both wellspring and tree of the Nazarene texts. It is agape that is required of us if we are to understand one another, for agape is the space to be and the support upon which all else rests. Indeed, agape is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. No wonder it covers a multitude of sins. The rather pedestrian translation of love, which is still the best translation available, only shows how ill-equipped English is for encompassing certain very intense knowledge, which is good, because it leaves us with a mystery we can enter into and dream about. May I finish with E. Cummings' poem that approaches this sense. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear, and whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling. I want no world, for you are my world, my true. You are whatever the moon has always meant, and whatever the sun will always sing is you. Here is the deepest secret nobody knows. Here is the root of the root, and the bud of the bud, and the sky of the sky, of a tree called life, which grows higher than soul can hope or mind can hide. And this is the wonder that's keeping the stars apart. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart.